Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. Apparently it means sinuses. I don't know what's going on there. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here. On a Wednesday evening, Rhino down there in Studio X, he'll make sure that everything stays on course, on target, on plan, whatever it is. He's got us covered down there. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown. A lot of great stuff going on down there in the River City. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. If you want to join us, the C Spire text line is available to you. 601-879-4395. We will take all comments and questions. And I promise I'll answer them as best I can. I don't know all the answers, but I do know how to make up answers. So if worse comes to worse, I'll just say something. We got a lot to talk about today. We got a good old three sports show. We got news in all three sports. But we will start with basketball. Even though their season has come to an end, the interesting part of their season, the off season, has begun, and that's in the portal. We'll start with who's coming in. We'll talk about who's going out, and we'll talk about who's staying. Let's start with who's staying, because that's the most important one, and that's Josh Hubbard. If you listen to this show, if you listen to Sports Talk Mississippi, if you listen to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, I was pretty adamant in my belief that Josh Hubbard was going nowhere. There was a lot of MSU fans who, quite frankly, y'all were chicken littles on this one. You were convinced from day one that he was going to go somewhere else, be at a bigger program. There were a lot of fans of other programs who found their way into Josh Hubbard's Twitter mentions on a daily basis that to do everything to tell him that they would welcome him with open arms at other schools. But at the end of the day, Josh Hubbard was always going to stay at Mississippi State. He's the star man here. I mean, you can make a legitimate case for next season that he is the most popular athlete on campus, right? Who on the football team has that kind of juice? No one. Baseball? No one. Now, Dakota Jordan will be gone next year. Hunter Hines, Durangelo, maybe, but it's Josh Hubbard. He is the face of MSU athletics in 2024. He plays for a coach that's going to give him every opportunity to be the star. He's going to have a good team around him, and we'll talk more about that in the next few minutes. And at the end of the day, he just wanted to be at Mississippi State. So it's done, and Josh Hubbard will return, as does Cam Matthews. And Cam Matthews is a guy that I feel like he's going to get a lot of pub next year in college basketball. I feel like he is a guy that, because he does everything for Mississippi State, he's able to play all the different positions, he's able to defend, he's a leader. I just feel like he's going to be a face of college basketball next year. You know, obviously the stat lines aren't going to be anything ridiculous, but I just feel like he's a guy that every time State's on TV, they're going to be a lot of focus, a lot of talk about Cam Matthews and what he does and what he brings to this team. Him coming back, he and Hubbard, that's a great nucleus to build around. That is two guys other players will want to play with. And speaking of that, MSU this past week went into the transfer portal. My camera go out of focus there. That's right. Mississippi State brings in Penn State point guard Kanye Clary, a guy who averaged 17 a game last year in the Big Ten. Left the Penn State team, did some digging into this, and it appears to be a very much a mutual parting of the ways. He was there to play for their previous coach who took a job at Notre Dame. He decided to tough it out for, or not tough it out, he decided to stay for a year, but they just didn't mesh with the new coaching staff. They didn't mesh with him, and so there was a parting of the ways, and into the transfer portal he goes. 17 points per game in Power 5 is pretty strong. Close to 40%, I think he's a 38% three-point shooter on the season. He and Hubbard, that is a electric backfield, backcourt. Already got football on the brain. So it's interesting because, you know, it feels like Jans is, and from what I've heard of some of the other transfer targets, that they're going to have a little bit more of a premium on offense now. And just the thought process being Jans and his staff can get those guys to play defense. They can teach them defense, but getting skilled scorers is going to be a priority for Mississippi State. On the backside of that, obviously you may have seen the news today that Shaq Moore has entered the transfer portal. Shaq Moore, it's just going to come down to, you know, does he want to be a role player here at Mississippi State, or does he believe he can get a better opportunity as a starter elsewhere? You know, from an NIL perspective, I think he has more value at State than he does anywhere else. So if that comes to that, I think if it's just a money thing, he probably will end up back here in Starkville. But it's, does he want to start or does he want to come off the bench? He's not going to start over those two guys. But I think he can still be a very valuable role player for Mississippi State. I think Jans would like to keep him. So we'll see if that ends up happening. But Clary, Hubbard, Matthews, that's a very solid starting nucleus to build out from in the transfer portal. You need to get a five, but the kind of five you need to get changed with those two guards, right? Those two guards can handle a lot of the scoring. You don't have to go out and get somebody who's going to give you what Tolu Smith gave you most nights offensively. It doesn't have to be 16, 17, and 8. It can be 11, 12, and 8. Be 10 and 8. Somebody who's more of a rim protector. Because you do have Clary and Hubbard are both small guards. So if teams can, you know, maybe out-physical them a bit. If that's the case, you need to be strong inside. Matthews gives you that. You've got to get somebody to pair with him down low. And then they need to get a 3 who can provide some offense. I love DJ Jeffries. He did a lot for Mississippi State. But at the end of the day, he was not a consistent offensive threat. They need somebody who can get out there, stretch the floor, hit some threes, drive to the basket on a consistent basis, be a 12, 13, 14-point-per-game score. And then when you have that with Hubbard and Clary, what they provide offensively, you're halfway there. You've got some good role players coming back on the bench. Sean Jones back for another run. I liked what I saw in the early season from Gal Chol. We'll see if he can develop. You bring in a couple of freshmen, Delquan Warren and Eric Payman, the Mississippi Player of the Year from Raymond. I don't know if they're done in the high school realm. I think they are. But they're going to go out and get 3, 4, maybe 5 more guys in the transfer portal and bring them in. And that's what they're going to be. That's, you know, but you, when you have Hubbard and when you have Matthews, again, these are guys that people are going to want to play with. With Hubbard, it's like this is a guy who's going to score. If I'm a point guard, and Clary's going to say, it's like he's going to make me look good. He's going to give me opportunities to shoot because teams are going to focus on him. And with Matthews, it's going to be like I have a guy that can do everything and will do all the dirty work and wants none of the credit. So I'll go play with him. Cam Matthews, I think, is a good locker room guy, good team guy. But on top of that, he's a good player. You know, so many times you hear, oh, he's a great locker room guy, and that's a guy who's averaging 2 points and 1 rebound a game. But the team loves him. This is Cam Matthews, you got a guy who can give you double-doubles, and the team loves him. So a really good week last week and going into this week now for Chris Jans. And I expect them, like I said, to be very active in the portal. I've heard a couple of names. I can't say them. They want all that they keep that down low. You don't want to put upset any apple carts. That's fine. And I won't give you the "I told you so" either. I won't be like, "Well, I knew." I won't do that. It drives me crazy. Somebody's like, "Well, I knew that this was happening." Well, then why didn't you tell us? Tell us if you knew. So what I'm saying is, there's some things I don't know anything. I've just heard things. There's a huge difference between knowing and hearing. Just always remember that. So I like this team. I mean, right now, yeah, Bronny James is in the portal. There was a picture floating around of him and Hubbard from a high school event with LeBron and Jason Hubbard, who's Josh's dad. And I was just like, that's. I can't. I want to. I'm going to quash you with one thing. You know, because people want to hope, and people know that I'm not a big fan of hope. I'm a very big pessimist. LeBron would never send his kid to an Adidas school. Just that's the end of that discussion. That's the end of it. So he's not going to Kansas either. He's not going to. He won't be going to Auburn or to, yeah, I'm trying to think of who's Adidas. Notre Dame is Adidas, right? Or are they Under Armour? I don't know. He's going to a Nike school. I promise you that. So I'm already excited for basketball again. We got a long way to go before we get to that sport. So let's talk about a sport that's going on right now in baseball. Just when I was ready to get excited again, yesterday happened. Let's talk about what happened to Didi Noble yesterday and what that means going into this weekend for the Diamond Dogs. Big series this weekend with the Georgia Bulldogs. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning. Super Talk Mississippi. We're brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. We want to remind you that April 5th, so that's what, Friday? 2 days from today, the Sunset Concert Series. 6 o'clock p.m. at the Vicksburg Convention Center. The BAR Band with Andrew Six Strong Soul Man will be at the Convention Center. That's at 1600 Dr. Briggs Hobson Boulevard. Free show. There will be concessions and a cash bar available. For more information, you can call 601-630-2929. Or email ErinP at Vicksburg.org. You know, I came out of last weekend, and I had some people comment on it about Monday's Thunder and Lightning podcast. Brian, you were so positive after State loses 2 out of 3 games to Florida, and they were walked off, and you were so positive. I was like, you know, I saw some positive signs, and I thought maybe it's a team that's, you know, two of their next three series are at home. The other one's against Ole Miss, who hasn't been playing very well. Maybe they're on the verge of doing something. And then I went to Didi Noble yesterday. I don't know. But State dropping that game to Central Arkansas yesterday. State is such a weird team, right? They have 11 losses. 6 of them are against this awful non-conference slate they've played, and then they've lost 5 conference games. I mean, their non-conference slate is not good. It's bad. I don't know what other adjectives I should use against it, but it's bad. That game yesterday, losing that game cost them 10 spots in RPI. State is currently 56th in RPI, so they've dropped 12 spots now since this time yesterday, or since yesterday morning, I guess I should say. Their strength of schedule non-conference is 181. To give you an example, St. John's, who's at 47, 19-5-1 on the year, they're at 191. It's St. John's. You'd expect their baseball schedule to be really bad. This is Mississippi State. And yet they still have 6 losses against it. And so if you listen to Teddy Cahill, who was on with us on Sports Talk Mississippi just a bit ago, he talked about it. He said, look, State's got to win at least 14 in the conference because they're so bad in the non-conference. And, you know, some people will say, well, maybe if they get to 13-17, they get in. No. They can't because their RPI is not going to be good enough. So they've got to get these things done this weekend. I said on Monday's podcast, I'll say it here, this was maybe the most important weekend of Lamonis' career at Mississippi State since he played for the national title. had a chance at home against an opponent that's not great. I know Georgia's RPI is good. Their record is good. They haven't played anybody. They really haven't. They lost 2 out of 3 last weekend to Tennessee. And Georgia's non-conference schedule is 19-23. They're 4-5 away from home. They've played 20 of their 29 games they've played at home, and they're 4-5 in those games away from home. So they're beatable. Now, they happen to have the best player in college baseball on their team, but if you don't let him beat you, you should be okay. Charlie Condon hitting over 500. What a joke. He's making a mockery of the game of baseball. This is not what Abner Doubleday had in mind when he created this game, a guy to hit 500. What do they say? You go to the Hall of Fame if you hit 300. 3 out of every 10. He's getting 5. Guy's insane right now. Georgia's 5th in the RPI, so State has an opportunity here, if they can get some wins, to really pull up in that RPI and get back into the 40s, and then next week you play Ole Miss. Ole Miss currently in the RPI. They should have dropped last night, too. After that, they're down to 32. They dropped 8 spots. They were 24 yesterday when I looked. Then you play Auburn. After that, they're 36 in the RPI right now. So you got a chance to get some wins and pull your RPI up. And for everybody's like, it's still early. Now we're at the point where it's not that early anymore, right? We're midway through the whole season. We're 4 weekends into conference play. It's no longer early. You can start looking at RPI and feeling good about where you are with that, or bad about where you are with that. So I said on Monday's pod that I thought this was the most important week and that he had to be 3-1. And it never entered my mind that they might lose to Central Arkansas. So now am I saying they need to sweep Georgia? Yeah, I'm kind of saying it. I'm kind of saying they need a sweep. They really need to get the train going downhill. They need to get fans back on board, and a sweep would do that. And if you take 2 out of 3, you're probably okay, but it's not the same. And if you lose this series, I don't know what to tell you at that point. At that point, we're going to start trending back the other way. Baseball America released their regional projections today, and State was in it. And I got to be honest with you, it was good to see Mississippi State's name in there after 2 years of not. Number 2 seed at the Chapel Hill Regional, paired, who are the number 7 national seed in that scenario, and paired with the regional in Nashville. So if State were to somehow win, they would head to Nashville to play Vanderbilt. You know, whether or not that's good enough is a discussion for another day that we're going to have probably down the road. It's just good to see them back in the mix for postseason play. Couple of you on the text line here. Do we know about Nate Dome? We don't. After Monday's interview with Chris Lemonis, I did text him. I was like, hey, coach, didn't get a chance to ask you about Dome. And he said, you know, getting better, but he's not there yet. So I don't know if I should expect him this weekend. I would not. Which means they'll go. Here's the thing. With Steven and with Durangelo, you're fine there. And I know Sierra gave up the home run. I know he did. But he's fine to be your Sunday starter. If that's your Sunday starter in this league, you're fine. So I am of the belief with Nate Dome desperately needs to go to the bullpen. They have got to get a closer. They've got to get somebody to close out games. And Dome can do that. He has the skill set for it. I don't know. I never once was of the idea that he would make a great starter just because of the way he pitches. He throws the ball so hard and with so much effort. I like him better in that bullpen role where he can just let it rip. I understand why he wants to start, because he wants to, you know, prove how much value he has for MLB. I get that, but geez, I think he would be a really good closer in this league, and that's what State's lacking. A good closer, and you sweep Florida last weekend. State's bullpen is just you know, the remnants of the Foxhall era still remain there, because you got guys who can throw hard. You got some guys who can throw 94, 95, 96, but you don't have guys who can throw strikes consistently. You know, and there was such an emphasis placed on velocity that the strike throwing portion of it got lost in the mail there. I cannot believe you said that I told you that before the year. They should put Nate Dome in the bin. And he said no, why he was fine being a starter. Now you didn't flip the switch. You say so, man. You've said a lot of things. This guy who's texting me in, you said that Daniel Hill was going to be at Mississippi State, buddy. Your track record's not great. So, you know, we'll just move on from that. I do think, you know, I'm pretty sure I said before the year started that I liked him better as a closer. I liked him better in relief, but regardless. We will see. This is a big series with Georgia. It's really big. And these next three series, State really, truly can, and I know this may sound, you may not believe me when you think about what State's been in the past couple years. In these next nine SEC games, State can really go 6-3, and they have a chance to be 7-2. I don't think they'll get two sweeps in there, but if you told me they swept one of Georgia, Ole Miss, and Auburn, I wouldn't be totally surprised. But they can definitely win all three series. And I know you're talking about going on the road, but hey, State hasn't lost a series in Oxford since 2015. They've won seven straight series against the Rebels. History says that they can do it again. And the way Ole Miss is playing right now, I mean, right now State would be favored to win that series, wouldn't they? So, a lot of stuff going on there. They've got to get wins. You know, the 4-5 start is great. Don't get me wrong. The 4-5 start, you'll take that. You're right where you want to be after two home and one road series against three top 10 teams, although LSU starting to suffer from the curse. But Texas A&M and Florida are good teams. You got the road wins you had to have. Now you're at home. You have to defend your home turf here. You've got to win this series. You really could go for sweeping it. But if you win the series, you're fine. Then you go to Ole Miss next weekend. They're reeling. They've lost, what, four in a row? They're probably going to be losing 6 out of 7 at best, right? They're playing Arkansas this weekend. You need to go in there and take one from them, and then or take two from them, and then you play Auburn at home. They've been terrible this year. Now, they may turn it around at some point, but they've been terrible to this point this year. You need to win that series. And then you can reevaluate, because then you got to start talking about playing Tennessee and Vanderbilt and Arkansas in the second half of the season. But you can get to those 14 wins that you feel like you got to have to play postseason baseball. But you got to play better than you played on Tuesday. Just can't have that. So, all right, let's switch it up again. We're talking football when we come back. We're supposed to talk to Jeff Lebby tomorrow after practice. What's he going to talk about with us? And I had some intel from Saturday's scrimmage. I will share that with you when we come back here on Thunder and Lightning. So we'll talk a little spring football as we get closer and closer to Super Bowl all weekend and the first spring game of the Jeff Lebby era. Back in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The One Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. We want to remind you, this weekend, Saturday, April 6th, the first annual Miss Mississippi Pickleball Tournament. The event begins at 8 a.m. at the Halls Ferry Park. It's the first pickleball tournament hosted by the Vicksburg Pickleball Association, and it benefits the contestants of the Miss Mississippi Corporation. It's a $55 entry fee. It's open to any member of the public. You can register for the event at pickleballbrackets.com. Brian Haydad, Rhino down there in Studio X, Thunder and Lightning. C-Spire text line is open, 601-879-4395. David's talking about Auburn, says he thinks they're good at baseball, man. Oh, Auburn's 1-9, and yeah, correct. They've played Vandy, Arkansas, and A&M. But State's played LSU, Florida, and A&M, and they're 4-5. I don't think Auburn's very good. I just call me crazy. I just don't think Auburn's good, David. We'll see. We'll see in a few weeks. But I just don't think so. Football. Talked to Jeff Lebby last week. We'll talk to him again tomorrow. I guess Thursday is just going to be the day we talk to him. By the way, shout out to Jeff Lebby and to Brandon Langlois and all the great folks at MSU in the media. Moving practices to in the morning. It just makes my job easier. I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all. So I just want to make that out there. Being able to go and talk to Lebby at 11 instead of him talking at 6, and I'm on the air, and it just makes it easier. So thank you. Appreciate it. First scrimmage was this past Saturday, and after talking to some folks, you may not believe this. You may not. Was told that it was the defense that really stood out in that scrimmage, that they were flying around, aggressive, showed a lot of different looks. You know, when we had Coleman Hutzler on with us, we said we couldn't use the word multiple, but evidently that's what he wants to be, and showed a lot of different blitzes and coverages, and really did a good job of frustrating the offense. Now, some fans are immediately like, oh, no. That's not good that the defense is good, which it kills me, right? We've been sitting talking for the weeks, like, I'm not sure about this defense, and they have a good practice. You're like, no, God, no. There's no satisfying you people sometimes. And I won't lie and tell you that I'm not surprised to hear that. I am surprised to hear that. I thought it would be a case where the offense came in and they were clicking early and you know, they dominated the scrimmage, but that's not the case. But it doesn't worry me in the least. You know, first off, one of the great cliches of football is that the defense is always ahead of the offense. You know, you always hear that. You always hear that it takes the offense a couple of weeks, sometimes in the end of the season, a couple of weeks to catch up to everything. So that doesn't bother me. State's got three quarterbacks who've never run this offense before. They're learning on the fly. Defense is just easier to teach, man. Where's the ball? Go get it. You know, go get the quarterback. That's you know, at its essence, defense is easier than offense. Offense is a lot going on there. So when they scrimmage again this weekend, I won't be completely surprised if those results are flipped and you see, you know, the offense doing some things. Some names to watch out for. At the receiver position, two freshmen are really, really standing out. One is Stonka Burnside and one is Mario Craver. Craver is very interesting to me because he has the kind of elite speed that State has lacked in years past, or at least not taken advantage of. I think they had elite speed with Xavion Thomas and Tulu Griffin, but they didn't do a good job of putting them in positions to show that off. This offense will allow for that. So that's something very interesting to me. We had a question about the running back position, who's getting the bulk of the carries. I know Kevon Lee has been getting some carries, but it's going to be by committee. Pittman and Lee. Johnny Daniels has been a little banged up through practice. Obviously, Seth Davis, I don't know that he'll even play this year, still injured. And then Xavier Gayton, we'll see if he can contribute at all. But that's why I really do think State might look into the portal here and try to find another running back if they can. Because there's just not that proven guy. And, you know, the good news about this offense, and we talked about this a little bit on Sports Talk with Ole Miss, right? You know, when they arrived in Oxford with Kiffin and Lebby, yeah, he took what he had, which was Jerrion Ealy, who's, don't get me wrong, Jerrion Ealy's a five-star player, but Snoop Connor wasn't, and he turned him into an outstanding running back. Henry Parrish was a highly recruited guy, but, I mean, those guys were able to run the football at will on people. So this offense is designed to allow for that, so... Whoever is getting the ball, I expect them to put up good numbers. But you would like to have a more explosive threat back there. So we'll see if that goes. Mike Wright, how is he being used? I don't expect to see much of Mike Wright on the field this year. You know, I don't think he's considering a position change. So I just don't expect to see much of Mike Wright. You know, there's not going to be a package for him the same way. Richard said you don't get up until 9 a.m. I mean. Whatever. It's just a tired joke. Is Shapen the starter? I mean, I think if they went into game, if this game week was this week, yeah, he would be. Does that mean that Parson or Van Buren can't win the job? They could, but they have a lot of work to do. Shapen just has the experience. He's got the big arm. If you listen to my interview I did with Lebby a few weeks back on Thunder and Lightning on the podcast, he talked about the characteristics of the quarterbacks that he had worked with before Lebby. He worked with Mackenzie Milton and Dylan Gabriel and Matt Corral, and he said that Shapen shared a lot in common with those guys. So, again, you know, I think Van Buren is definitely his guy. That's a guy he'd like to see take over this offense maybe next year. But for now, yeah, for Shapen, he is definitely the he will be the starter barring incident, I would think. I would be really, really, really surprised if he didn't. So that's the thing about this offense, and I go back to I keep going back to it, but Lebby and Kiffin's first year at Ole Miss, there was no transfer portal, right? So they had to work with what they had, and that was not a good offense the year before that. And they turned him into a juggernaut. Now, it helped a lot that Matt Corral was this undervalued talent at this point. Nobody knew that he was going to become one of the top quarterbacks in the country by the time his college career was over. But, and I did it again, I talked about it on Sports Talk, you should never believe anything after the word but. Let me see if I can change that. So nobody knew he was going to be one of the top quarterbacks in college football by the time his career was over. The hope is that Chapin is that kind of undervalued talent. You know, I went back today and rewatched, you know, and a highlight video is a highlight video, all right? It's a highlight video. I should, you know, it's hard to find full games of Baylor, but when you watch the highlights, he has some of the same tools that Corral does. He doesn't have the same arm. Corral's arm is very, very unique in the way he can throw the football. But Chapin's arm, you know, somewhere between Matt Corral and Will Rogers, that's where Blake Chapin is. He can throw the ball down the field far enough. I'm not saying he's going to unleash a 65-yard rope, but he can put the ball on the money 40, 50 yards down the field. He's got some of the same athleticism, right? I don't know if he's as plus a runner as Corral was, but he can run when things get bad. He can escape the pocket. He can get you positive plays with his feet. And so I think he can be successful in this offense. And the good news is, this is an offense, as I mentioned, every quarterback that's played in it has put up monster numbers. So if Blake Chapin is what you think he is, if he can be that guy, then he's going to put up great numbers as well. And it's sort of the same thing you had with Leach, right? Doesn't really matter who Leach's quarterback was. In a full season, they were going to put up big numbers. Will Rogers certainly did that. So can the same be true with Chapin? I think so. I think Mississippi State can be perfectly good offensively next year, and they can be good enough defensively that they're contending for a bowl game. I think that they can, you know, you look at their schedule, their non-conference games are winnable. The game at Arizona State will be tough, but it's winnable. And then you've got some games in the conference, you know, against Florida, against Arkansas, that I feel like State can win those games at home. And then, you know, can you find another win to get to 7? Maybe. I don't know. It's going to be tough. Don't get me wrong. You know, Georgia? No. Texas? No. At Tennessee? I would probably say no. The Egg Bowl is the Egg Bowl. But it's certainly, Ole Miss is certainly a big favorite as we sit here today. Who else do you have at home? Texas A&M? Who knows what they're going to be? And then Missouri? I think Missouri is going to be pretty good. But we'll see. They're certainly not unbeatable. Can you get a 7th win? I don't know. I think they can get 6, though. And 6 in year 1 with Jeff Lebby, I'm totally fine. Absolutely fine. As long as he delivers. There are different kinds of 6-6, right? If he's 6-6 and that offense is dragging, the defense is a lot. You know, think about Leach's first year, right? I thought that State would lose games, but they would lose them like 45-42. And instead, they were losing games because they couldn't score. The defense was good enough. Don't want to see that from Lebby. I would rather see 45-42. They lose 45-42. Well, Lebby did his part. We'll worry about the defense down the road. Got to win 6 games and be exciting on offense. That's the mandate when you hire a coach like Jeff Lebby. So I'm excited to talk to him tomorrow. We'll see what he has to say. I think State will be fine. And by fine, I improve for year 1 with Lebby. What's State's real expectations for next year? I think it should just be making a bowl game. 6 wins, if you can get to 7, you're doing really, really good. Anything above that is gravy. So, we'll wrap it up when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Don't forget, every Friday and Saturday you can check out live music in Vicksburg at a lot of great different locations. The Beachwood Restaurant, the Vicksburg Convention Center, the Key City Brewery, Ameristar, and Waterview Casinos. For more information on performers and times, visit the website, visitvicksburg.com. A lot going on the Thunder and Lightning podcast this week. We are rolling through these spring previews. We've got two on the podcast feed for you tomorrow. I talked to Wilson Alexander of The Advocate about the LSU Tigers. That's a very interesting team. Won 10 games a season ago. Offensively, they were good enough to be number one in the nation. Defensively, they weren't good enough to go to a bowl game. They balanced it out and found a way to win 10. But now that the Heisman Trophy winner is gone and the Biletnikoff finalist receiver is gone, what do they look like? So we find out that. And then we got to talk about Ole Miss. And I had a true scalawag on, a real carpetbagger, if you will. Richard Cross joins me for that. And we go a little deeper into that, too, and talk about Mississippi State and Ole Miss and where those two programs are at this time and how far away are they from one another. And I will give you a hint. It's not as far as Ole Miss fans wanted to believe, and it's not as close, maybe, as Mississippi State fans would like to believe. Imagine that. The truth is somewhere in the middle. Who would have guessed? Only we could get, you know, everybody else to think about that. Also, don't forget, tomorrow, Super Talk Mississippi is on location. We are live in West Point, Mississippi at the Sally Kate Winters facility. We were there all day from Gallo through Sports Talk Mississippi. Richard Cross, if you love Richard Cross, tomorrow's a great day for you. You can get him in the morning. You can get him in the evening. Just don't call him in the afternoon. He'll be playing golf. Don't try him then. But he's hosting the Paul Gallo Show and then Middays with Gerard. Good things with Rebecca Turner and then, of course, myself, Richard, and Borky will take you home live. This is my favorite remote of the year because I only have to drive 15 minutes to get to it. It's fantastic. I'm home before it gets dark from a remote. Very rare for me on that one. So it's weird. It's like, you know, this time of year feels like there's not a ton going on with Mississippi State, but this was a very newsy week, you know, with all the basketball stuff and then baseball, softball today, by the way. Got another win. That team is really good. They got a run rule win today, 14-0 over UAB. They play at South Carolina this weekend. Gamecocks are ranked in the top 25, as are the Bulldogs. So that'll be a they're a good team. They have a real chance to host an NCAA regional for the first time in school history. It's funny, they've hosted a super regional, but not a regional. But they are on pace to do that. This year. And they had a chance last week. It was kind of flew under the radar. They had a chance to take three from Florida as well, and that was at home. But, again, weren't able to do that. Florida just had State's number this past weekend in both sports that are played on the diamond. Will Levy be a combination of air raid and run? Dwayne, Levy will be what you've seen from Ole Miss the past couple of years. So however you want to put terminology on that, whatever you want to call what Ole Miss has run offensively since 2020, that's what Mississippi State's going to be running. Simple as that. I think the real term they like to use is veer and shoot. But whatever you want to call it, that's what it's going to be. Real quick here, somebody asked about Jimmy Bell. Do I think he sees any playing time? If you missed that news, former MSU basketball player Jimmy Bell has announced, or it's been announced, he's headed to the football field, and he will be playing with Mississippi State football this year. As far as playing time goes, I mean, that's going to be tough, right? First off, he's kind of limited in what he can do. He's 6'10", right? So unless he's a tight end or an offensive tackle, what is he doing? I think the real contribution for him could be on special teams, because I think he's a guy who can get up there and maybe block some field goals for you. I mean, he's 6'10", and he can leap. But as far as getting playing time on the offensive line, I mean, it's going to be really tough to come in there and over guys who've been playing for a long time now, a guy like McCollin Pounders, or if he goes to the other side at right tackle, and a guy like Albert Reese. These guys have been playing football for years now, and it would be tough to come in and just, you know, from April through August and put yourself in a position to get playing time there. So, you know, I'm glad he's doing it. I'm sure he'll enjoy it. Wish him the best. But as far as playing a big impact this year, I just don't know that's really the case. Okay, so we got some confusion here. Is this the somebody asked earlier? Is this the podcast text number? The podcast. This isn't the podcast. This is a live radio show. So yeah, I can read the text here, but there is no podcast text line number. You got to hit me up on Twitter if you want to do that. So just clear that up for you. All right, talk to you guys tomorrow from West Point for Sports Talk Mississippi, and of course the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Don't miss that. Got a lot of great stuff coming your way there as we get through the spring. For Rhino down in down there in Jackson at Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.